so excited. We are so privileged to have Donna and Doug Easterday here to minister to us. And they are like father and mother to us. We are spiritual father and mother, and we just always look forward to having them. So please welcome Doug Easterday.
Amen.
That's good.
I'm sometimes kind of not as formal as my husband.
That's right. Well, good morning. If you're happy and you know it, say amen. What a great time we live in. What a horrible time we live in. It's both, isn't it? So this morning, before I begin, just put your hand on your heart, would you, please? What I'm about to share applies to every one of us. None of you will say, well, it doesn't apply to me. I'm too spiritual for that. No, you're not. Sorry. I'm sorry. So it applies to all of us. Just ask the Lord for your portion, what he has for you. Don't think about what someone else needs. Just say, okay, Lord, I give you an openness of my heart to receive what I need today. Amen? Well, I'm blessed to be here. This is my Louisville home, and Don and I are always looking forward to being with you, and I say that seriously. I don't say that because, you know, it's the right thing to say for a guest speaker. I don't feel like I'm a guest speaker. I feel like I'm part of you and of the family, and Grandpa's coming to town. So I got to tell you a little Grandpa story. Is that okay? Just my oldest grandson, he's 15, was a basketball player, and his friends were just kept courage to go out for football. I don't play football. Man, you get hit. And it hurts. And I don't want to play football. And fight. Anyway, so he did. His team, his high school, had not won a game in 2.5 years. I watched 3 games, and in 3 games, I got 1 first down. One first down in 3.5 games. Well, my grandson started to play, and first he caught this amazing pass for a first down, the second of the season. In that game, he caught 2 180-yard touchdowns, 1 60-yard touchdown. The next game, he caught another 50-yard, another 40-yard, and they won. And then last game, he caught another. So 5 touchdowns in 3 games. Grandpa's proud. So it was pretty cool. So just a little grandpa-ish here. I want to talk about perspective today. The story is told about 5 blind people were taken to an elephant. And then they were asked to describe the elephant. Well, the first blind guy, he got the trunk. And he's feeling, and he described it as this thing that's bigger and then it gets smaller. And so that was the elephant to him. Another one, he got the ear. This big old, big, kind of not real thick, flappy thing, and it moves a lot. Another one got the legs, and it's like a tree trunk. Another one, they took him to the side. He had the side. Oh, this is enormous, like a building. Another one got the tail. Well, which one of them was right? All of them, but none of them. It was a matter of perspective. We do not have a complete perspective. Can you say amen to that? Your perspective is not complete because none of us have it all. And so I want to talk about how our perspective of what's going on in the world is so important that we keep it godly and biblical. It's when we get out of that perspective and begin to let other influences affect our perspective, that's when we get discouraged, depressed, and, oh man, what's going on? Pastor Jeff said this morning, sometimes you watch the news, you get depressed. Why? Because that's their perspective. Yes. How many of you know the news is not accurate? Amen. Somebody should say, amen, brother, to that. Amen. Stand up and shout. But that perspective gives us a view, and we often think that perspective is correct and accurate. And our perspective is so important. And I want to talk about one aspect and then the answer to it. One aspect of perspective is complaining. Anybody ever complained the last 2 years? If you're not raising your hand, we're going to have a class tonight for you. It's called honesty. Be here. The Israelites wandered around the desert for 40 years. You know why? Well, even back in those days, men didn't stop and ask directions. That's a good joke. If you didn't laugh, shame on you. They wandered for 40 years because they complained. That's the primary reason for their wandering where they were going. For 40 years, they complained. And God had done a miraculous thing, provided meat for them, provided supernaturally. And he led them with a cloud and a ball of fire by night. By the way, the fire was for warmth because it's cold in the desert. And they complained. What did they complain about? You know that complaining never produces anything good? How many have ever complained? Well, that got better because I complained. I'm going to do that some more. It's just not helpful. What'd they complain about? Ugh. Man, if we just had the garlic and the leeks like we did back in Egypt, things aren't like they used to be. How many complained about that in the last 2 years? Raise your hand, please, because this is confession time. Man, I'm so sick and tired of these dumb masks. Anybody? I'm just so tired of this. All they do is talk about you can't do this and can't do that. Anybody been there? Things aren't like they used to be. Well, you know what? They're never going to return. Never. Secondly, they complained about what they didn't have. Anybody want to admit that? Oh, shoot. They had all they needed. They also complained about, oh dear, their leaders. All right, I'm going to have to raise both hands and both legs when we talk about complaining about leaders. It was really funny. Friday night at the football game, I was just mentioning to you, one of the other team's receivers, his name was Chase Brown. Our governor is Kate Brown. And we all kept saying, Kate Brown. And Kate Brown made the tackle. And they go, man, she's everywhere, isn't she? I have complained about our governor. I'm speaking this message more to me than you. I have complained. She's a liberal, very, very similar to our president, as far as their perspective. Anybody complain about leaders? How has it gotten better because you've complained? Has your complaining really produced good things inside you? or inside you or outside you. Has it helped? Yeah. Now, we need to understand it's okay to disagree. It's okay to have a perspective that their way of thinking isn't biblical. And it's okay to recognize that and to acknowledge that. I'm not saying take a passive role and say, oh, well, whatever. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that what produces good is not complaining. We're going to talk a little bit what does produce some good, but we need to realize that complaining doesn't produce anything positive. I am so guilty of this. Anybody complaining about gas prices? You guys are really blessed here. You know what I paid last week? $3.59. Wow. Don and I have an older motorhome. It's a 75-gallon tank. When you say fill it up, you better know what you're talking about. Yeah, that's a lot of $3.59 going in there. It gets 9 miles a gallon, too, you know, so we're not going very far. I have done a push a lot, you know, so. She complains about that, though. I'm trying to teach. Anybody complain about politicians? I have. May complain about decisions that affect us, like COVID precautions. We all have a different perspective. If we went around the room, we don't agree in here. Who's right? I don't know. Am I right? Probably not. Are you right? Probably not. The guidelines are so inconsistent. They're just like, don't make any sense. Do any of you think about this before you put these plans in action? One of the craziest ones I heard in Oregon, in high school wrestling, they couldn't wrestle inside the building, but you could take the mat out on the football field, and then they could wrestle because they're outside without a mask. So they're done wrestling. Now, when you wrestle, you are entwined and face-to-face, for several minutes. But you couldn't shake hands after the game, after the match, because that might pass on COVID. Wow. Now, how stupid is that? Wow. You can wrestle mouth-to-mouth almost, but you can't shake hands. And my son's basketball or my grandson's basketball league, the referees couldn't touch the ball. They had to kick it to the players. Now that's been so, because of COVID, all the players can. Anybody complaining about the stupidity of the guidelines besides me? Like, where did you get your brain? We've complained. I've complained. You've complained. Deuteronomy says to us, what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It's not up in heaven, so you have to go, well, how can I get to heaven to get it? No, is it beyond the sea? How can I cross the ocean to get it? No. No, it's very near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your what? Mouth. Come on, let's say it together. In your what?
Mouth.
In your mouth and in your heart. So you can obey it. And this command is having a grateful spirit. What's the answer to complaining? Having a grateful spirit. A grateful spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, except COVID, then it's reasonable. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, no, by golly, it didn't say that. Give thanks in all circumstances. How many? What does that leave out? Does it include COVID? Now, let's get a different perspective here. How many think we live in a kind of a tough time? Like, oh my goodness. Think about when Jesus lived. He was under the Roman Empire. You think our government's bad? They were sick. They just went and beat people and killed kids just for a fun afternoon party. The Caesars of the world were ruthlessly horrible. And Jesus lived, didn't say a word about it, just says, give to Caesars what's Caesar's and God's what's God's, and didn't complain and change the whole world. See, that's a perspective we need to realize. Other people had it worse than we do, and they still succeeded gratefully because they had a grateful spirit. I want to talk about having a grateful spirit. How many of you had food this week? How many had clothes? I'm glad you have clothes on today. We're very grateful. How many of you got here in a vehicle? How many have a place to go to and a bed to sleep in? Do you know that you're in the top 5% of the world economically? Top 5% because we have those things. How many of you have $5 in your pocket? You're in the top 2%. Three billion people right now today live on less than $2 a day. Are you grateful for what you have? Now we complain what we don't have. Oh man, I wish we had. And some things, you know, practical things like, you know, better job or a company doing better or neighbors or whatever, I understand. But also we complain about things that only God can do, like healing. And God's really challenged me lately because I'm having some physical issues. So I'm sitting. They say I need a hip replacement. I don't know. I hope that doesn't come to that, but it hurts. And walking yesterday through airports was tough. And I've said, God, you have the power to heal me. Why don't you do it? And God says, are you going to complain or be grateful for what you don't have? You know what? I still got my mind. I can still say fairly intelligent things. I did say fairly. Come on. I can still get in the car and drive. I can still put my fork in these things and, ooh, that's good. Are you going to complain for what you have? I mean, excuse me, grateful for what you have? Or complain about what you don't have? A grateful spirit lifts your spirit. There's something about it that just lifts you up. And when you have a grateful attitude and a grateful spirit, you're not depressed. And a grateful attitude changes things around you. It changes you. It changes other people. But a complaining spirit does the opposite. It does change people for the negative. How many of you have some people around you that, you know, I'm just kind of hesitant to go around them because all they do is talk about how bad it is? Anybody there? It's like, man. So understand that That might be us sometimes. Having a grateful spirit. I know I've told this before, but it's worth repeating. I was on an airplane, just sitting there, minding my own business, and the Lord speaks to me just out of the clear blue. And he says, I want you to change the atmosphere with your attitude rather than letting the atmosphere change your attitude. Well, first of all, I had to think about that. It seemed kind of a complicated statement. Oh, how many of you let the atmosphere of the world change your attitude? Anybody besides me? I fly a lot. And airport food is less than my preference. And I have this thing I call the least worst. Which is the least worst place to go? So I landed in Seattle after the Lord spoke this to me. Change the atmosphere with your attitude rather than letting the atmosphere change your attitude. And I hadn't eaten that day because of, you know, schedule. And so I had a little layover, and so I was looking for something. And looked around, nothing looked good. I don't know how many of you have been around those situations, but, you know, I found the least worst. And I went up to this place in the airport. This girl comes up to me, and she says, help you? Like, come on. It doesn't cost you anything to be friendly. I mean, can't you just be nice? If I'm not here, you don't have a job. That's what I wanted to say. The Lord says, change the atmosphere. I didn't want to. I want to say, hey, chickadee, you can smile. But I did obey the Lord, and I said, well, you sure can. I'm so thankful that you're here tonight. You know, I haven't eaten today. I bet you other people like me. And I just appreciate your willingness to help us with our food needs. Thank you so much for being here. She looked at me like I'd just fallen off a rock and hit my head. And she says, she didn't know what to say. Thank you. No one's ever said that to me before. Well, I'm so sorry that we haven't. I am really thankful that you're here. I'm thankful for you. She did not know what to do. And then I said, well, I'm not sure what to get. What would you suggest? And she just came alive. Oh, you know, I can make this, and we can put this on it. You're supposed to charge me all for these other things she's putting on it, but she didn't. Oh, it's all right. I'll take care of it. And she started telling the other people in this little food booth there, and it just started to buzz. And all I did was have a grateful spirit. And it changed the atmosphere. So I said, well, God, I have to have a scripture for this. I have to know that it's biblical. He brought me to every place that your foot will tread in the book of Joshua. I have given it unto you. You can change the atmosphere at the gas station, when people are complaining, when how much higher it's going to go. Well, I'm so thankful we have gas. I've been in countries they didn't have any. You got rationed 5 gallons a week. It changes people around you, having a grateful spirit. It gives you a reason to go on. A grateful spirit gives you a reason to keep going. There's times when what we're facing with, like, what's the use? I know the use because I serve a wonderful God who has a wonderful plan, and he's given me all I need. That's a grateful spirit. So I want to go on. Remember years ago, the old Gaither song says, I am loved, I can risk loving you, for the one who knows me best loves me most. We can risk having a grateful attitude even if we don't feel that grateful. This is not a feeling thing. It's a choice thing. Like at that food booth. I didn't feel like being nice to that chickadee. She was rude. But a grateful spirit affects, changes me, and it changes the world. And it gives me a reason to go on. And then, another reason is it moves us into true worship. The Gospel of John, chapter 4. It says, yet the time is coming and has come now when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit, capital S, and that means the Spirit of God, and in truth. For they are led, they're that kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. You cannot be a worshiper without gratitude and without a grateful spirit. Are you grateful? Yes. Are you grateful for your home? Are you grateful for your clothes? Anybody complained about, got nothing to wear? Are you grateful for your food? Grateful for your job? Are you grateful for what you have? Even if it's not all you want? A grateful spirit changes me and it changes you. I want for us to pause and be quiet for about 2 minutes. Would you just begin to make a mental list of what you have? All the things God's given you. I'll give you an example. I got a wonderful wife that the Lord brought after my first wife of 49 years passed away. And God in his love and mercy gave me a wife that is so awesome. I have a mind that works. Body that's not working so good, but at least I can still keep moving and put food in it that really tastes good. Grateful that I have five grandkids that think their papa is wonderful. I have three kids that love the Lord. I have a house that's awesome. Are you grateful? Just take 2 minutes and make your list. Several years ago, I was with the Lord, and they showed me this picture. I had this green genie. There's no lamp I had to rub, it just was there. And this green genie says, 25 wishes. It was a big green genie, so it wasn't three, it was 25. And the Lord says, write them down. So I wrote down 25 things I wanted. I didn't put amount of money, but I put never have another financial need. I had a dream car. I had a particular, you know, place on the lake. And all this, 25. I got all done. And the Lord says, if I fulfilled all those today, would you be closer to me or further away? oh, shoot. I had to start crossing some out. You know what? Out of 25, I had to cross out 22. I have a 2008 Dodge pickup with 170,000 miles. You want to borrow it? Here. But if I get my dream car, don't you even look at it hard. You know what I mean? See, we're going to be grateful for what we do have. And I realize that some of the things I wanted weren't even good for me or my walk with God. We're going to go back in time of worship now. And I really want to urge you to have a grateful spirit. But may it not stop as we end the worship. As you go out those doors the rest of the day, the rest of this week, the rest of this month, let's practice having a grateful spirit. An attitude of gratitude will make the world see like God's still in control, which He is. Let's worship together and let's have a grateful spirit. Lead us, brother.